product mentioned, the spray back. Puppyland at 24335 Plymouth Road, and I'm just informed that we are switching again to the General Motors building for WWJ's labor reporter, Britton Temby.
Reporters representing newspapers, magazines, radio, and television about the company side of this situation in which the UAW has gone on strike against General Motors. Mr. Seaton is holding up while everybody gets set, and he will be speaking to you in just a moment.
Hey, Eric. Your eyes look as bad as the inside of the vision website. Great sales.
Thanks. The strike against General Motors called by the UAW-AFL is completely unnecessary and unjustified. If prolonged, it will have serious consequences for our employees and their families, for our dealers and suppliers and their employees, for our plant communities, and for the public and the economy at large. In the last 16 years, our differences have been composed at the bargaining table in five successive national negotiations. The union's reasoning behind its last-minute decision to break off negotiations and resort to the strike weapon is all the more difficult to understand because substantial progress towards resolution of our differences had been made at the bargaining table during the last 23 hours. The union has publicly admitted that our economic offer was satisfactory and equivalent to those upon which the agreements with our competitors were based. General Motors has made every effort to effect a settlement of the non-economic issues, having in mind the interest of our employees. However, the union has made demands beyond this, which, if granted, would restrict management and its responsibility to operate the business efficiently in the interest of all concerned. General Motors stands ready to continue negotiations at any time and to work hard for a final settlement of the unresolved issues.
Mr. Seaton, when did Mr. Ruther first indicate to you that they were going to strike?
About 10 minutes to 10 this morning.
Daniel Hill.
What do you think are the unresolved issues, Mr. Seaton?
Well, I'd like to say this, that during the course of the night, we were able to complete the detailed language on the sub-plan, the pension plan, and the insurance program. We also proposed to the union over 50 meaningful improvements in the general contract area, including increased committeeman time. We've made several proposals for improvement in the production standards language in order to expedite the handling of production standards grievances. We had, of course, in our basic offer, the 12-minute additional relief time for employees on the assembly lines, which makes it a total of 36 minutes. And we made many other proposals, many of which were initialed by the union during the course of the evening in the so-called non-economic working area of our agreement. As you men know, the economic proposal that we made Monday to the union was on all fours with the two other settlements affected by the union in the automobile industry. Mr. Ruther, I think, himself has said that. If you ask me what my judgment is as to the causes of the strike, I would say I was surprised, because at the point that Mr. Ruther announced the strike, we had what I would consider, and at least based on my experience in bargaining with this union, a basis for a settlement. I believe that the things that, from what I've heard, that are at issue, it involves what I would characterize as full-time business agents paid for by the company to handle the union's business in the plant and out of the plant. Currently, we have 1,796 UAW committeemen who operate in our plants, handling employee grievances through the grievance procedure and handling other legitimate union business in the plants. Last year, we paid those union committeemen over $4 million to handle the union business inside our plants. They only use 58% of the allowable time. An interesting thing, and one of the effective measures of whether or not a representation system or a committeeman system is working, is the number of grievances settled at the first step of the procedure. That is, between the foreman, the employee who feels he has a grievance, and the union committeeman. In our situation, 65%, two-thirds of the grievances are settled right out there on the floor. And we believe that if you compare that with other industrial records, you will find that it is an outstanding record. Mr. Ruther talked about working conditions. And in this particular, based on my 36 years of experience in General Motors in personnel work, I will stack up the General Motors safety record, the General Motors housekeeping, the General Motors industrial hygiene safeguards in our plants, our general conditions, our equipment, against any other modern industrial enterprise in this world. I might point out to you gentlemen, down at the other end of this room, are plaques which were awarded to the General Motors Corporation and its employees for improving its safety record each year over the preceding year. And that you will find that our safety record is superior in industrial America to any other large corporation that you can stack it up against. As far as our working conditions are concerned, our plant conditions, we invited many of you gentlemen of the press to visit our plants and to see for yourself at first hand the type of conditions we had. We had open houses this year in so far in 1964, in which we had over a million visitors who could judge on their own the type of working conditions which we had. On the overtime question, the automobile industry has enjoyed three very successful years back to back. With limitations of plant facility in order to supply customer demand and to take care of our tooling requirements, our model changeover requirements, by the very nature of the business, it's necessary to work overtime. I don't believe that you'll find that the General Motors overtime hours are the highest in the industry as a percentage. Mr. Ruther mentioned some horror cases, and I asked him last evening during the course of our bargaining to give me the plant name and the individual name, which he didn't do, so that I could check them out. I think that if I were to summarize, I'm very disappointed that we didn't reach a settlement, of course, but I'm also a little mystified and amazed that the economic proposal, which Mr. Ruther characterized as the highest ever attained by an industrial union in America, and with the improvements that we offered in the general contract area, that it didn't result in a settlement in our situation here.
Mr. Seaton, you mentioned that you had made an offer to the union on increasing committeeman time. Could you be a little more specific?
Well, we offered to increase the district committeeman time from
one-third in amount.
33%.
You would increase it 33%.
That's right.
That's from 15 to 20 hours?
Right. For five, on the basis of a five-day week.
Weekend.
The same ratio for Saturday and Sunday weekend.
Mr. Stephen, do you know when negotiations will resume?
Well, we left it on the basis that as soon as we got a little sleep, we would be in touch with one another and set up a meeting. I couldn't tell you right now when that'll be.
What was the average work week for last year?
Tom, I don't know. I think it was 43 hours But we can get it for you. I don't want to take that off the top of my head. It was between 42 and 43 hours, I think.
You didn't offer any increase in shop committeemen?
In the amount of time, certain types of shop committeemen were offered an increase.
And Mr. Seaton, in your prepared...
We offered to make...
They're at 30 and 35 hours now, plus some additional allowances for standards and that sort of thing. If I understand their proposal, they just wanted flat full time.
All?
You have not offered that.
No, we
have
not.
No, we did not. No, we did not.
District and shop.
One of their demands is simply full time committee men.
And what did you offer on the shop committee?
We met their demand to increase the number in certain of the larger plants.
Full time?
No, under the regular arrangement, but they wanted some additional ones in the larger plants on a ratio basis, and we offered to meet that.
You offered to increase these shop committeemen in the large plants by one-third, is that correct?
No. No, the one-third has to do with the increase in the amount of allowed time for all district committeemen across the board.
But on large plants, you offered to increase it for shop committeemen.
Not time, the number of shop committeemen.
Well, the number.
Is there any way to be specific as to the controversy on working conditions? What is wanted?
Well, in my judgment, I think the term working condition is being used as an umbrella or a cover for other things.
What are the other things?
Well, as I said, one of the things is the question of committeeman time.
Is that the primary thing?
I wouldn't want to say that. I think that there were several items that were still open in the bargaining at the point Mr. Reuther announced that he was going on strike.
What were they?
Davey, I'd have to go through the book, but for example, I'll go the other way with you. Here are the proposals that the company has made to the union in the general contract area now since the start of bargaining, and most of them were made since Monday afternoon when we started this series of bargaining, when Mr. Reuther came back to the table here. As I said, there are over 50 improvements in the general contract area alone, not counting the economics.
Well, you say that this working conditions term is an umbrella. The only thing you specifically cite is the disguise for committeeman's time. Could you cite a couple others, or is that really the issue?
Well, Mr. Reuther talked about overtime, and I guess he considers that as a working condition type of thing. Now, again, as I've said before, we have local demands. There are still some 17,900 of them that are unresolved in 126 bargaining units across the country, and those do involve local working conditions. I mean, parking lots, locker rooms, working situation, coveralls, that type of thing.
Mr. Seaton, what's your understanding of what GM has to do with the civil instruction?
If I knew the answer to that one, maybe it'd be settled.
And Mr.
Thank
Seaton,
you, sir.
Sorry, Tom. You left out the second to last sentence in your prepared statement. Is there any particular reason for that?
No, I did it in the interest of conserving Mr. Temby's time and the other gentleman here.
Okay. Now, wait a minute.
You have been hearing Louis G. Seaton, General Motors Vice President in charge of personnel, giving the company's side of the dispute which led to the strike by the UAW against General Motors at 10 o'clock this morning.